Chapter 8, A Beauty Contest and a Price War. The five main reasons a house doesn't sell are as follows. Number 1, the price. 2, the agent hired. 3, the marketing. 4, the condition of the home. And 5, the location. These reasons are also in the order of things that sellers can control. The sellers can always control the asking price and can never control the location. It turns out that it is a beauty contest and a price war when it comes to selling a house. Most agents will approach a home listing by looking at comps, which are comparable sales listings, to determine the price. They'll get decent photos, write a good description, and roll out the standard marketing, which is the MLS, digital ads, email blasts, etc. Some will even plant a St. Joseph statue and say a prayer. Well, it works. However, even if sellers have done all the right things, found a top agent, and crunched the numbers, there's no guarantee their asking price will get them the sold sign. When agents take a listing, they know they're about to enter that home into a beauty contest. Most of those passing judgment will see pictures of that home online. The more drawbacks that are visible in the photos, the fewer the buyers that will show up. Buyers will quickly determine whether your home is worth the price, whether it is what they're seeking, and whether it is appealing enough to take the next step, which is an appointment for a showing. That's the contest, and unfortunately, many agents and sellers don't know how to win it. Most homes do not sell quickly. In normal markets, most never see an offer over the asking price. How do I know? Here's some eye-opening data. According to the 2020 NAR Generational Trends Report, 55% of homes do not sell at their asking price, and 40% of all homeowners reduce their price at least once. Here in California, just under 50% of all homes sold over the last decade receive more than one offer. According to CAR, during that same time period, only 1 in 5 homes sold above their final asking price. Our last sobering statistic is from NAR's 2020 Home Buyers and Sellers Generational Trends Report, which states that 40% of all listings take 5 weeks or longer to sell, and most only had one bidder. No amount of marketing will sell an overpriced property. When everything else is done correctly and you're not making big mistake, it is usually the asking price that stops you from getting sold. Like I said, in addition to being a beauty contest, it's also a price war. How do you avoid these kind of problems? Well, an honest pricing conversation should occur when you sign the listing contract with your agent. This might be followed by an uncomfortable discussion to explain what happens if the market doesn't react the way everybody hopes. What if you can't sell by the time you have to move out? What if no offers are forthcoming? Agents are likely to avoid answering these questions during the selling period, so you, the seller, should bring them up during the interview. Start by being objective. Top 5 lists. When I see a home for the first time, I try to ascertain the top 5 selling points, as well as the top 5 challenges that might dissuade buyers. Actually, as a home seller, it's helpful to perform this assessment yourself before you even start to interview agents. Top agents will have sharp eyes and will figure out the top 5s quickly. The selling points your agent highlights should be the pillars of the marketing strategy, so listen for them carefully. Know your home selling points. Homes that are in the best condition, newer homes, homes with great character, homes with great layouts, those that have the best location, that have the best amenities, flow, light, and room to expand are typically the homes that will sell for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Remember, it's a beauty contest. If you don't have at least 5 strong selling points from the list below, your home will take more time to sell and probably need a lower asking price. Here is a list of selling points. Location, recent upgrades, quality of construction, square footage, enough beds and baths, architectural significance, quality of the school district, layout and flow, outdoor space, natural light, garage, storage space, and room to expand and the size of your lot. Know your home's challenges. Every home has challenges too, and it's important to hear how your agent will sell around them. If the home needs improvements, then sellers need to know the easiest ways to maximize value. Perhaps they need to make repairs, update the paint palette, add new appliances, countertops, window coverings, or flooring. If the home has a challenging floor plan, then the agent should help buyers visualize how removing a few walls could greatly enhance the flow. Experienced agents should be able to prioritize the top five concerns and give cost estimates for modifications without having to drag contractors in to give bids. Sometimes, homeowners are not aware of how serious their home's flaws might appear to buyers. Agents need to be tactful yet honest when explaining such flaws, particularly for those that cannot be easily modified. Perhaps the home has only one bathroom. The additional bathrooms would be difficult to add. Maybe desirable architectural features have been stripped. It could be that the garage is too small, or maybe the kitchen has no pantry. Other challenges include proximity to power lines, zoning issues, foundation concerns, or an outdated style. One way that agents handle these challenges is to point out that many of the homes nearby have the same issues. Such observations make buyers feel more comfortable with these concerns. In some areas of California, bad feng shui, which is how energy forces harmonize individuals with their surrounding environment, can also be a significant deterrent for a buyer. And then there's location. Location, location, location. It's a mantra for a reason. The perception of a home's status and value can be strongly affected by the neighborhood and community features around it. You can change just about everything about a house except its location. Top agents will assure sellers that when they are talking to buyers, they have ways to couch the location challenge within the entire list of pros and cons about a house. These agents can learn some of the history and culture of a neighborhood, so they're prepared for difficult location questions. They can find information about neighborhood improvements and what's in store for the community's future. Whatever the challenges, the skills and expertise of a good agent are indispensable for a seller. Keep in mind, even if you're winning the beauty contest, there is still a price war. Price it right. While you really don't have control over the market price, you do have control over your asking price. However, many sellers and agents bungle the asking price, and it winds up being a big expensive mistake. After all, 55% of all listings do not sell at their asking price, and that figure doesn't include the homes that didn't sell at all. Having a price that a buyer trusts as reasonable is half the battle. As I mentioned earlier in this chapter, most agents like to run comps. They do that to provide a comparative market analysis, which is called a CMA, and show you how your home compares to the other properties, as well as how quickly a home goes into contract, which is days on market, or DOM. However, comps don't tell the whole story about the market. An absorption rate analysis is a tool that most agents have access to, but do not provide for their clients. This analysis shows how quickly properties are going on the market, going into escrow, and getting sold. It shows what the historical seasons have looked like and where the market has leaned towards, a buyer's market or a seller's market. It also shows what percentage of homes are selling over their asking prices and how many months of inventory for your type of property is out there. If you know where the market is going, it could be much easier to determine the right price. I tell my clients to price their home like it's a good deal, but not a steal. Selling a home is about motivation and engagement, and price is a powerful instrument to inspire both, as long as the agent is doing everything else correctly. Nevertheless, the asking price needs to be close to market price, based on comparables, absorption rates, and where the market is going. After all, no one knows the marketplace better than a motivated buyer. Must I sell if someone offers me my asking price? This is a question a lot of my clients have. Generally, the answer is no. However, it does depend on what your listing contract says. Most, if not all, listing contracts are created by your state association of realtors, and it'll stipulate that if you receive a full price offer, you will act in good faith to respond to it. Keep in mind, responding doesn't mean you have to accept it. The typical listing contract isn't an agreement to sell. It's an agreement to have a certain agent and their brokerage to market and negotiate a sale and to pay them a commission once the sale is completed. If you get your asking price immediately, maybe you've done well, but there's still a chance that you've left money on the table. Can you get more if you wait a few days? Most home buyers will wait a few days. What about the other sales comparables? Are they selling immediately? Are you priced too low or just right? This is another instance where a local, experienced agent can provide answers. High-end sales can be tricky, even for the pros. It isn't uncommon for agents to ask their colleagues, yes, their competitors, for price feedback on a home that's about to go on the market. Be open to having your agent bring other agents through to see your home before going on the MLS. Getting feedback can be a powerful tool for the seller and can create some market buzz. It isn't a sign of weakness. It's smart. Let the market speak. When a home goes on the open market, industry veterans like to say, the market will speak. What does that mean? If you don't receive any offers on your home, then the market has spoken, and it's usually telling you that your home is overpriced. The best and highest number of buyers will see your home within the first few days or weeks of going on the market. Statistics prove that the faster a home sells, the higher the price it will sell for. The opposite is also true. The longer a home takes to sell, it generally means that its sales price goes down because there are fewer buyers and less leverage to get the best price. The entire marketplace is engaged at the beginning of a listing. As time goes on, it is hard to get attention, and when buyers see that your home hasn't sold, they tend to think that the home clearly isn't worth its asking price. You might be saying to yourself that you have lots of time, that you're not in a hurry, and that you can wait. Unfortunately, there isn't much data to support that strategy if you want the highest price. The fact is, staying on the market longer seldom makes you more money. It just doesn't work that way. Unless the market is going up and you have the time and a high tolerance for risk, you are almost always better off selling sooner rather than later. Time works against you. Multiple offers and bidding wars. Some seller's agents sometimes suggest a very low asking price to entice buyers. However, sellers need to be careful not to sell too quickly in this scenario. The market will always dictate the price as the offers come in, especially if the sales process is handled correctly. If you get offers within the first hours or days, then you will probably get more offers if you wait a little longer before responding to anyone. Also, be careful with your expectations about multiple offers, bidding wars, and selling over asking price, even in a hot market. That dreamy scenario we often see on HGTV isn't automatic. Having 20, 30, or even 40 offers on a home is something that many agents wear like a badge of honor. All this means is that they price the home way too low, which can be risky and expensive for the sellers. Fielding offers isn't easy. Given the amount of paperwork involved, most offers are 15 to 20 pages long, and with the barrage of emails and incoming calls, agents can be overwhelmed. Each offer can take 20 to 40 minutes to present to a seller. It isn't easy to get organized, negotiate effectively, and communicate under those circumstances. Even with 10 offers on a home, my phone is constantly ringing and I'm fielding at least 100 emails a day. Pricing a home correctly and not having to handle a huge amount of offers makes the selling process much more likely to run smoothly and successfully. When there are a lot of offers, it's tough to communicate to the buyer's agents, and for them, no news is bad news. It's just too easy for a buyer to get less enthusiastic unless they think they have a real shot. Getting a lot of offers doesn't necessarily mean market price was hit. Hitting the market price with a lot of offers can be tough for a number of reasons. With so many offers because of a too low asking price, it can make it difficult to get the best buyers to stretch higher to reach the actual market price. In situations like this, it's common to have buyers bow out during the process, especially in a bidding war. Some serious buyers don't want to be part of a feeding frenzy. They get scared away. Even if a property is priced artificially low, buyers tend to decide before bidding what their price limit is. Therefore, many of those low offers are a waste of time for everyone. Buyers and their agents want communication and feedback to stay engaged. If the listing agent is overwhelmed with superfluous buyers, there is less attention given to the better buyers who will go higher. The right balance of offers depends on the marketplace. A great goal for a typical home is to receive about 5 offers within around 2 weeks or 2 months. Higher end or specialty homes usually take longer to sell because the pool of buyers is limited. Aside from getting to market price, getting multiple offers allows leverage for the seller to negotiate better terms, such as the close of escrow or shorter buyer contingencies. Keep in mind that after buyers have done their inspections, they normally will ask for some sort of concession, like a repair, a credit, or a price reduction. It's easier to say no when the buyer knows you have a backup buyer. It also depends on how strong a negotiator your agent is. If the asking price happens to be the price where the offers come in, and if you're satisfied that you haven't sold too quickly and have marketed it the way I've described in this book, then go ahead and sign on the dotted line. Congratulations, you and your agent have done well. Pocket price versus market price. Too often, when seller's agents are allowed to represent buyers or to pre-market the home, they don't post the listing on the MLS. Instead, they go to their own buyers or to small portals, perhaps a newspaper ad, their own website, or they rely on the for sale sign. By putting the listing in their pocket, they're disregarding the largest audience, the MLS, and they're not cooperating with other agents. The phrase pocket listing traces back to the very beginning of the real estate brokerage business. When agents had a signed listing, they wouldn't market it. They put that paperwork in their pockets and call their own clients, never exposing the listing to the entire marketplace. Pocket listings almost always benefit the buyer and the dual agent. It's obvious that the pocket price is almost always lower than market price. It goes against common sense to think otherwise. Buying a listing. It's not what you think. Agents buy a listing when they tell the seller they can get an inflated price. In this business, you can always find someone who will tell you what you want to hear. In this case, I'm referring to a higher price for your home. Too often, the seller will interview several agents and settle on the agent that comes up with the highest selling price. The seller thinks, wow, this agent is so optimistic and convincing, they must know what they're talking about. The agent hasn't bought your house, but the agent has bought you with an unrealistically high price expectation. You see, buying a listing is not risky for an agent. Agents know that if the house doesn't sell, they'll just ask the seller for a price reduction. They may try to do as many open houses as possible while they're at it, and why not? The agent knows that they priced the house too high, and they might as well make the best of a difficult situation. Again, NAR says agents should use listings to get more leads, so why not take an overpriced listing? No agent wants to be the one who disappoints sellers with an honest price estimate that happens to be the lowest. And suppose another agent can reasonably justify a high price with hard numbers and can explain the pricing strategy with common sense. In that case, perhaps, the agent recommending the highest price is the one to go with. Perhaps. But far too often, agents are hungry for listings, so they give inflated prices just to get the client on board. Honest agents consider this a dirty trick that they know rarely pays off for a seller. While it's impossible to know how many listings are bought by an agent, a good portion of those never sell. The listing expires or it gets canceled. The fact that almost half of all homes need a price reduction to sell says a lot about overly hungry agents and sellers. Buying a listing is a constant source of annoyance to good agents, and it isn't fair to home sellers. In fact, it can be punitive, and the practice is borderline illegal. But in this selling game, it is very often difficult to prove malicious intent. Sometimes a seller wants or needs a certain price, or perhaps believes that a high asking price makes the home appear to be worth more. Perhaps buyers will agree. That's a rare outcome. This is sort of like overpricing a diamond or a car. There's certainly some logic to that, but it's risky, you must admit. This is called trying to set the market, and when a seller engages in this, the effect is usually short-lived. Most sellers, whose home listings either expired or were canceled, will tell you that their asking price was too high and they didn't know until it was too late. When the listing goes back on the market with a new price, This sends the message to the market that the home was probably overpriced the first time around. But, asks the seller, wouldn't buyers give offers on overpriced homes, offers for what they think they're worth? Heck, if they really like a house, shouldn't they bid for it? Isn't that a logical strategy and a good reason to start with a high price? You're not going to like the answer. It just doesn't work that way in residential real estate. Buyers will rarely write a low offer on what they or their agents perceive as an overpriced home. They think it's a waste of time. They don't want to insult the seller, and they think their offer will go nowhere. They tend to assume the seller is asking too much and that those sellers are clueless about the reality of the marketplace. If this strategy worked, it'd be commonplace. Chasing the market down. In other cases, agents don't even know they've made the mistake of pricing a home too high. Maybe the seller insisted on starting high. Maybe the agent wasn't aware of the comps. Eventually, however, everyone will realize the mistake. There might be fewer showings than normal or none at all. There might be low offers or none at all. If other agents tell your listing agent that the home seems overpriced, your agent needs to listen, and you do too. Is your agent giving you feedback from buyers and other agents? You should be hearing it every time the house is shown. Buyers' agents usually love to give feedback. If your agent complains that she isn't getting feedback, then tell her to call everyone who showed the house and ask for it, and also have her line up a handful of successful agents from her office to offer feedback as well. Depending on your marketplace, if you're not getting showings or decent offers in the first few weeks, or perhaps months, then often the next step is to ask for more marketing and to correct the asking price. Assuming you've done everything suggested in this book, then it's usually a matter of time versus money. Can you stay on the market longer, or must you adjust the price, effectively chasing the market down? Agents know that even if a home doesn't sell within the first month, they'll still have the listing, and all they'll need to do is get the seller to reduce the price. They keep reducing the price until they get action. At that point, you're chasing after fewer and fewer buyers, and buyers will sense that there's blood in the water, which will hopefully force a sale. There's a problem with this kind of strategy. When you reduce the price of a home, it causes the seller to miss the best buyers, and it's more likely that the house will sell under market value. If you were a buyer and saw the price dropping, wouldn't you think there's an opportunity for you to buy the home at a better or lower price since there are fewer buyers? Homes that have been on the market for two or three times the average selling time usually have at least one price reduction before they sell, and they usually don't sell at the asking price. Another problem with chasing the market is that an overpriced home typically results in the seller working with only one buyer. That means no bidding war or backup offers and little leverage for the home seller. It gets worse. The buyer usually knows there are no backup offers and tends to grind down the price during the sales process. It also becomes more and more difficult to negotiate favorable terms such as shorter buyer contingency timeframes and concessions. The three big buyer contingencies are inspection of the property and its disclosure paperwork, loan qualification, and bank appraisal. Using these contingencies, buyers can and will try to negotiate a reduction in price, a credit, or even repairs. The shorter these contingencies are, the better it is for the seller. Otherwise, it can be a horrible situation for the seller. Why tell the seller? While some agents will walk away from an overpriced home listing, many will not. Why should they? They'll be able to promote themselves and maybe they'll be able to meet other potential sellers and buyers to further their business. Maybe everyone will get lucky. When there aren't any showings or offers, the agent can always tell the seller that the marketplace suddenly got a little wonky. For the typical agent, there are a lot of potential benefits, even if the home doesn't get an offer. So, why tell the seller? If you're an agent, please remember that it's okay to say no. When you buy a listing, you are putting an innocent homeowner's equity at risk, and it'll be a waste of time for everyone. Unless you just hammer them for price drops and use their home to selfishly market yourself. If sellers don't take your advice, then tell them you aren't the right agent for them. They can decide to list with someone else. Say to them, call me if it doesn't work out. As a seller, how do you prevent an agent from buying your listing? Quite simply, study the market and ask a lot of questions. Again, your agent should be able to explain a pricing strategy that you fully understand. Don't let them try to sway you with jargon. Look at comparables and ask for a market absorption analysis. This way, you can get a good estimate of how long your home will take to sell based on the sale of other homes. Better yet, ask the agent, "Are you trying to buy my listing?" This is a shock of a question for any agent. An ethical and experienced local agent will always be able to answer with multiple reasons and strategies behind their recommended asking price. For high-end listings, there can be a big incentive for an agent to buy a listing. Depending on the marketplace, location of the property, or its provenance, a very high listing price can garner the agent more publicity and exposure than they could ever pay for. Imagine having a listing that is worth $10 million, but the listing price is $20 million. For a few thousand dollars in marketing and strategic PR placements, the agent can get exposure for themselves that would normally cost tens of thousands of dollars. Imagine the agent gets their name in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, or the LA Times, or all three. Like I mentioned earlier, it'd be foolish for an agent not to use their listing to get other leads. You should be asking, is this good for the seller? Usually not, as we've all heard the stories of how long these types of properties take to sell, and they almost always sell for below their asking prices. I just think the seller needs to be fully aware of the situation. Using your home to sell other people's homes. Just because you put your house on the market at a high price and have buyers coming to view it, that doesn't mean you have truly interested buyers. One of the oldest tricks in the real estate book is something that really upsets sellers. Agents using your home to sell other people's homes. Yes, they really do this. I'm sure your agent never told you this one. It goes like this. An agent brings a buyer to your house and says to their buyer, "Look at this house. They're asking $700,000, and the one down the street is very similar. They're only asking $650,000. Let's look at both, but the $650,000 house looks like the better deal." This probably sounds unethical, but it's done all the time. It's called comparison shopping. My family and I loved a vacation in the Lake Arrowhead area, a beautiful countryside destination only about an hour and a half's drive from Los Angeles. Lake Arrowhead's lakefront properties with docks usually sell for at least $2 million. A few have sold close to $6 million. However, for the past several years, I've noticed 5 to 10 homes on the market priced at $10 million or more. They almost never sell and have been on the market for 3 to 5 years. They seem to defy reality. A neighborhood is only a $10 million neighborhood if homes are actually selling for $10 million. Agents use those expensive, overpriced homes to sell other homes in those neighborhoods that are priced better. Buyers believe they're getting a great deal when they buy at $6 million while the house next door is priced at $10 million. Remember, sellers don't set the market. Buyers do. An overpriced listing certainly gets a lot of publicity and buyer showings, but they rarely ever sell anywhere close to their lofty asking prices. The greatest number of buyers looking at your house are in the first few days and weeks. If your home is overpriced, almost all will look elsewhere. On the other hand, if a seller's agent is handling the contest well and the property is priced correctly, a home will sell for market price or even above asking price or appraised price with the best terms. It's all about the price, period. When a top agent will tell you that they've done everything else right, if the asking price was too high, and if you haven't made other mistakes, then your agent is probably right.